Welcome to Careertals. This week, how to build a relationship when you're too far away for lunch. The questions discussed answers are, how do I build a relationship when I work remotely from the person? What equivalents are there to lunch for remote employees? And how can I use meetings to build relationships remotely? Heads up, San Diego, February 18th and 19th will be in your town with our Effective Manager Conference and Effective Communicator Conference. The first two Effective Manager Conferences this year in Austin and Raleigh-Durham sold out. So if you're interested in attending in San Diego, we recommend you register as soon as possible. Just go to the website and look for training. This guidance came out of a licensee's question. He wrote that he knew that lunch, which we mention often when we're talking about relationships, lunch or coffee or some kind of food-based event is a good way to build relationships. It gives you some time and space usually to talk about things other than work, and that's kind of where we connect. But he works remotely from his team, and there's no way they can have lunch. They actually work on different continents. And he asked, is he doomed? Am I doomed? He said. And the answer is, of course not. We'll tell you what you can do, even when you can't have lunch.
Yeah. We're going to talk about seven topics. Take the opportunities you get. Use video rather than phone. Use video or phone over email. Leave a voicemail. Join early. Call to say. And send I thought of yous.
Seven things you can do when you're not doomed. The first thing is take the opportunities you can get. So he, like I said, he told us that he works on a different continent to the rest of his team and there's no way that they would be able to meet. And that's true for many people that work remotely. But there's sometimes opportunities to meet that we overlook. So we would just want to make sure that you are taking all of those opportunities before we talk about the non-meeting opportunities. So, for example, if you travel to the office where someone else works and you're meeting someone else or you're going to see HR or that there's some reason for you to go, but it's not related to that person that you want to build a relationship with, sometimes it can be easy to think, okay, I'm going there, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to come home and not think about the people that you could meet for a meal or even just a coffee. You can take the same opportunities if someone travels towards you. So if they come to a town near you or they come to your office, then make sure that you take that opportunity to meet them, even if the main event for them is not seeing you, it's seeing someone else.
Absolutely. Anytime someone's traveling, if you guys are headed in the direction toward each other, there might be opportunities there, especially if you travel. If you're traveling for work or something else to somewhere nearby them, then you may be able to meet for lunch in the middle. Like in between, you know, too far for lunch is kind of relative. Wendy and I both live in Texas where it's really not a big deal to drive over 100 miles to have lunch with someone. Whereas, I know it sounds so silly. It's true though.
It's true. I'd drive to Austin to have lunch to you. Would take me like an hour and a half. I'd have lunch and drive back again.
Yeah. I drive to have meals in San Antonio often with my family and things like that. It's very much just something that isn't a big deal here. But if you're in a more densely populated area, it might seem a bigger deal. You know, 20 miles is really far in probably Manhattan. Even if the distance, though, is just a bit too far for kind of a normal situation, you might consider whether the relationship is worth making the extra effort, especially if the opportunity to meet is really rare. If you're going to be there and you're only there once a year, it might be worth considering spending a little extra time. If you're not a person who travels a lot, sometimes travel can be really burdensome and tiring, and people just want to get back to their own beds. You know, you want to go home. And so generally, trips are scheduled to be away from home for as little time as possible. It's something to think about, though, because when you think about, oh, it's too far for lunch, if you spend a little extra time in the place you're traveling to, if it allows you to meet more people you'd like to know or spend more time with, then that's a good opportunity. And the same is true on these kind of business trips and these opportunities. An extra night is really not that much different if you think about the potential returns for that relationship. What's more, the person you're meeting with will feel really valued, that you're willing to go through some discomfort to meet them and spend some extra time. And it will really help the relationship. It's an extra little bit of, oomph there behind your energy and your efforts there. I mean, I know better than anyone, when you're traveling, sometimes you just want to go home. And the value of spending a little extra time with those people who are in that area. So if you're traveling, think about where you're traveling to. I actually keep a list because I often forget when I'm traveling who's in that area. I have a list of cities that I go to regularly and the people who are in them, categorized by family, friends, and then actually like school alumni, because sometimes I forget that people I went to university with are nearby. And the big one that always comes to mind is Chicago. I know a bunch of people in Chicago, and I rarely, kind of spend extra time with them. Partially that's sometimes because of weather, but it's definitely something to keep in mind when you're traveling around. Maybe you have some time.
Yeah, if you're taking the first flight out in the morning, you could take one the second or third and have breakfast with someone, Or if you're taking an afternoon flight, you could take, we don't recommend taking the last flight, but the last but one, and maybe that gives you an extra hour. And often if you're in a place, if you were in Chicago and all your meetings were like next to Chicago airport, maybe the person who lives there would be willing to come to the airport to meet you. I've done that before and, met people in the Starbucks that's like...
Outside security,
exactly. Because if you've made the extra effort to stay an extra couple of hours or even an extra night, then hopefully the people you want to have a relationship with want to have a relationship with you, and they would be willing to come meet you.
For sure.
So that's it to grasping the opportunities or taking advantage of the opportunities if they come up. So the next, we'll go now, we'll assume that you really are never going to meet, or that opportunity isn't going to come for a long time, and talk about what things you can do on a day-to-day basis. So the first one is use video rather than phone. So if you have a choice of a phone call or a video call, choose the video call. Skype, Zoom, GoToMeeting, whatever system your company uses or doesn't use. Not all companies have Skype, but you can use Skype on the web, so you don't even need to download this software and have a video call. And there's like obvious advantages to being able to see someone's face and their surroundings. The thing about 70% of communication is nonverbal doesn't have a lot of scientific merit, but I think we do recognize that there's a good percentage of communication that is nonverbal. And there is a qualitative difference between a conversation we have on the phone and a conversation we have when we can see the person's face.
Mm-hmm. It's also important to remember that video gives you opportunities to talk about non-task and non-work items. Part of the advantage of lunch or coffee in building relationships is that it's an opportunity to talk about non-tasking items, non-work items, those things that kind of bond us, that we have in common. Even someone preferring the same coffee as you, or, knowing that they're not doing caffeine this month or something like that, can make us feel warmer towards them. Video kind of gives you that same opportunity. You see more things about the person. The classic example for me has been that Sarah on our team changed her hair last year. And I don't see Sarah in person enough to know that. And if we worked in an office, I'm sure the people who live in her building or the people who see her at conferences, they know. Mm-hmm. So for someone who spends so much time speaking with her, it's maybe a minor detail, but it is something that it's worth knowing and noticing and being able to talk about. If you have video, then you can see those things. If you don't have video, then you don't even know sometimes. Sometimes people reorganize their office or they're doing something different, and you can only really see that over video. You can see faces and hairstyles. You can see just things that you can hang your conversation on, things to mention. And of course, because everyone's favorite subject is themselves, those things are important to them. They pertain to them.
Oh, that's a nice picture. If you say, oh, I see you've got a nice picture, a new picture in your office, everyone's like, yes. And you know where I got it and how I chose it, because my choosing art is, I'm an expert. Everybody wants to tell you how great their purchase was.
Yeah. If you can compliment a remark on something, that's in their room and that they're wearing or something new about them without being creepy, then you can, you know, kind of have these extra little conversations. You know, oh, you painted your office. You look great today. Oh, hey, we have the same chair. I just got mine. Do you love it? Your dog's really cute. Or your cat. We have that. What's their name? This last one's kind of funny. You look like you're sick. Should we postpone? Again, don't be creepy. Maybe just, you know, are you feeling under the weather or something like that would be a good question to ask.
Yeah, most people know when someone else has a cold or the sniffles or just looks like they didn't get a lot of sleep last night, especially if you know something, you know, like they have a small baby, you know, babies stay up all night, as far as I can tell, and people don't get a lot of sleep. So, you know, if you're smart and you know that, you don't book 8 a.m. meetings, you give them a little break so that they can start the morning slowly. But it's knowing those things. And the phrases that Kate said, a lot of them have two parts, a statement and a question. So for instance, hey, we have the same chair. I just got mine. Do you find it comfortable? Okay, it sounds a little weird, but if you're working from home, the chair you choose to work from home is you choose it. Usually, it's not like in an office where you just get given one. And so the one you choose is kind of important. And there's the statement, hey, we have the same chair. And then the question, I just got mine. Do you find it comfortable? So if you're a longtime Energy Tools fan, you remember the tennis analogy for conversations. So you have the ball, you make a statement, and then in order to make the match continue, the rally, you have to send the ball across to the other person, and that's the question. So the statement, you have the ball, and then you're giving the ball to the other person with the question, and then they make a statement and ask a question, the ball comes back to you. So it's statement, question, statement, question, statement, question, and your job is to keep that rally going as long as possible. You know, when you have those awkward silences, it means that somebody didn't ask a question because the ball got stuck somewhere. So when you're thinking about the things that you can talk about with somebody that you can see on video, just think about not only making a statement, but also asking a question.
Absolutely. The next thing that we're going to talk about is to use video or phone over email. We talked about video and it's great things. Video and phone, though, have obvious advantages over email. It's often said you can't hear tone over email, which is true. And we would honestly estimate that 90% of email misunderstandings are because the tone was read incorrectly.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you sound mad.
Yeah. Yes. It's like honestly, I think that's a ratio of how many words you use. The fewer words you use, the more angry people sound, I think, the more likely it is to be interpreted that way. Replacing, though, 100% of your emails with video or phone call would be extraordinarily inefficient. We're going to instead increase the proportion from 0 to 10%. And this will really help your relationships. Some emails are more logical to replace with video or phone than others. I've got kind of a list of things to think about in terms of which you might replace. Consider having a video call or a phone call with the person or initiating one of those if there's been more than two back and forth emails and you're not near agreement. Consider it if you want to hear someone's opinion or feelings. Those are really things that are kind of hard to put into written words or are often left out of emails because email is seen as a task-focused medium. Think about it if a diagram or drawing will really help understanding. If, you know, if you're drawing something about it or you're sketching things, seeing the diagram being created or having been created really often it helps increase the other person's understanding during the process and the kind of the workflow, I think, of your brain, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Seeing it kind of emerge. The other one that's not on this list, but that one made me think of is screen sharing. Since I discovered screen sharing, I do it all the time. This is what I'm looking at. This is what I'm trying to do. Why isn't working? Or this is what I'm looking at. This is how I'm understanding it. Or somebody's asking me to help them solve a problem. Well, show me what you're seeing. Screen sharing is incredibly effective in helping you communicate things that are visual. And it's not just about presenting something. It's not just about, I've got a PowerPoint and I'm going to share my screen and flip through them. There's lots and lots of other circumstances where sharing your screen is helpful. So keep that in mind.
So true. You can also consider, if you haven't spoken by phone in the last 5 working days, if you have multiple subjects to cover, a phone call or video call might be really helpful. And also, too, if you have a need for a regular briefing, a 10-minute stand-up is more efficient than a status email because it really facilitates questions and answers to help understanding with other people. So there are many opportunities to increase your, you know, phone and video conversations from 0 to 10%. Like we said, email is not always the perfect medium. And of course, when you're deciding, when you're thinking through how you should communicate and whether a phone call or video call is appropriate, you also want to take into account the person's desk. High D's and high C's are less likely to want to have a call or a video with you, and high I's and high S's will really tolerate that better. So think about that.
Yeah, I's and S's want to have video or a phone call with you over email, whereas D's and C's would much rather have email because it's efficient. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, because an email isn't always efficient. For instance, if you have multiple subjects, a really long email with lots of bullet points is just not as helpful as a phone call. And so the way to get over that for a high D is to tell them it'll be quicker if we're on the phone, because high D's just want to get it done and off the table. High C's, you can tell them, I want to do it over the phone because it'll give you the opportunity to ask questions on the things that I've missed out. Because unless you're another high C, you haven't put enough detail in anything for a high C. They have questions. I's and S's, they want to see your face. They want to communicate in a visual way or on the phone. So that's easier. And if a DISC is a mystery to you, it's a behavioral instrument that looks at the way you behave when you're not thinking about it and tells you something about yourself and how you can be flexible to meet other people's needs. And if you go to the website and type DISC in search, you'll find a whole bunch of resources. So let's face it, the past 2 years have provided professionals with a robust job market. And if you're in the right industry, your company may be growing rapidly. In our research and data, we find, and particularly in tech companies, that many managers are individual contributors who were doing a great job. They were skilled and successful individual contributors, and now they're managers. But if you've been around the block a while, you know that management is a workplace discipline in and of itself, with behaviors and actions and expected communications and relationship building, all of which contribute to the success as a manager. If your folks haven't made the transition, or if they don't understand how to build relationships, provide performance communication, delegate and grow their bench strength, you may want to consider having manager tools come directly to you. We will work with your team, get to know them, and teach our models so that results and retention are the focus. Contact Maggie at maggie@manager-tools.com or check us out, manager-tools.com/organizations.
Our next consideration, next thing to maybe do, is to leave a voicemail.
When was the last time you left a voicemail?
Yesterday.
Yeah,
I left Sunday.
I left one yesterday, but maybe nice. The first time in a week, but I left one yesterday.
I know. I think the perception is that nobody makes phone calls or leaves voicemails anymore. And Mark often says, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. In other words, when nobody else is making the effort, it stands out that you're leaving a voicemail, that you're making a phone call. When you get an email from someone that you want to build a relationship with, consider not responding via email. Instead, call them. They'll almost certainly not pick up, which leaves you free to leave a voicemail. And if they do pick up, don't panic. Just talk. It's fine.
Someone told me that recently. They were calling a headhunter, and the headhunters, recruiters in general, tend to answer the phone more than other people. And they were so shocked they just hung up. And she said, can I ring back? And I was like, yes, just ring back.
Yeah, my gosh. So funny. People don't talk on the phone anymore. So call them and leave a voicemail. We have some guidance about voicemails. You want to forward the conversation. So you can say something like, hey, Jim, I got your email about the Smith Project. I agree. Moving the customer requirement session ahead of the first planning session makes a lot of sense. I'll talk to the boss about it and let you know what he says. I'm in all day, so feel free to call if you want to chat this through. tomorrow I'm leaving early because I got tickets for the Cubs game, but I'll be back in on Friday. Something like that. Something that they can build on.
Yeah, you have to answer the question and allow them to move forward. You can't, what you can't do is leave a voicemail that says, hey, Jim, got your email. Call me back.
Yeah.
That just puts the burden of effort onto them. And if you want to develop a relationship with someone, putting work on their shoulders is not the way to do it. You know, people tend not to like that. So, and it doesn't build the conversation as much as if you were in the office and you were walking past this cube and say, oh, hey, I got your email. Makes a lot of sense. I'm going to talk to the boss. Come by, you know, I'll be in all day and whatever. I'll be out early tomorrow. But it is a much richer interaction than an email reply that says, I agree, your suggestion makes a lot of sense. I'll talk to the boss and let you know what he says. That's a very it's a very focused email response to the task that you were given or to the question you were asked. And that's the problem with email. It encourages you to be very task focused. Well, I guess it's the problem and the advantage of email, that it encourages you to be very task focused and just respond to the task. And it's the stuff around the task that is the stuff that builds relationships. The stuff about, you know, now he knows that you're going to the Cubs game, or you did a video call and you left a voicemail and you sound really stuffy, and now he knows you've got a cold, and when he calls back, he'll say, oh, I hope you feel better. It's never the task that builds the relationship. And so, because email is so task focused, it doesn't build the relationship.
Yeah. You know, the tone of your voice is important. And then also telling them when you'll be available and all that stuff, it really sends the message that you are putting in extra effort, that you are, you know, focused on moving things forward. And of course, please don't take this to mean that, you know, you can leave a voicemail that says, hey, it's me, call me back, as we've said. That's really not helpful. Your voicemail has to answer the question and really move the conversation forward. Don't put yourself back on his task list, I guess, is the purpose of that.
And there's a lot we can learn from someone just by hearing their voice. Like often, when we're doing interview guidance and we're talking about phone interviews, we tell people to smile while they're talking, and they say, that's just silly because nobody can see me smiling if I'm on the phone. But you can absolutely tell if somebody is smiling when they're talking. So you leave an upbeat, positive message for somebody. They feel like, oh, you really want to work with me. You're happy to work with me. You're happy about this piece of the project and wanting to solve it. Your voice can send a lot of the message in a way that words can't, which is why phone and voicemail is better than email sometimes.
Absolutely. If you're involved in organized meetings, on conference calls or videos, you might consider joining early. At an in-person meeting, arriving early allows you to greet everyone who comes in and have a quick chat about non-task topics before everything gets started. And you can do the same thing on a conference call or a video. We're only talking about 5 minutes, you know, not something that will take up a ton of your time. You're already sitting there with your coffee. You're not going to get anything done in those 5 minutes. And, you know, even sometimes nobody else will join early and you'll be able to finish that last email. If they do, you'll have the opportunity to talk about something you have in common and deepen your relationships.
Yeah, noticing.
Yeah, we join early a lot on our calls on Friday mornings, and you talk about stuff that's not on the agenda. And it's great because it turns out life isn't on the agenda.
Yes.
So sometimes those are the times where you hear the most about how things are going for someone or how they're doing. It's a really great strategy to use to have more conversations with your coworkers.
It's a little bit of space to have that conversation, that non-work conversation. Now, if you're going to use the strategy, don't get online and then go mute and then do other things like I've seen people do. And it's especially tempting if you work from home, because you think, okay, I'm just going to connect and then I'll be ready when the call actually starts. But I'm just going to go turn over my laundry while I'm waiting, while I've got this 2 or 3 minutes. But if you're on mute, first of all, you can't hear if somebody talks to you, which is they think they're talking into the ether or being ignored.
Yeah.
and also, You can't see if anybody joins. Sometimes, you know, if people are struggling with the audio, you can see them at least. And when they say, can you hear me? You can say no. Because they usually type that to you. Can you hear me? And you say no. There's no point in joining early with the intention of building relationships and then wasting it by not being able to use that time for conversation. So just sit at your desk and wait. You can do email, you can do anything on your desk. You could even tidy your desk as long as you don't move away from it so far away that you can't see the screen, you can't see people joining. So don't waste the opportunity when you've got it. Make sure that you're still connected and able to hear and see what's going on.
Another thing you might do is just call to say. You can also make quick phone calls to give compliments, sympathy, or offers to help to those people you're trying to build better relationships with. Again, if you were in the office, these would be the kind of quick conversations you would have when you pass someone's cube, or if you met them in the break room or just bumped into them in the lobby. When you're remote, it's a little more work. It's not too much. These calls really only need to last a minute. You just say what you want to say and kind of be done.
Managers often ask us, how do I give feedback if somebody's remote? This is how you give feedback. You pick up the phone, you call them, you ask them, you do the feedback model, and you go, just wanted to let you know, put the phone down. Like, it's probably only a 1 minute call. And making a phone call is not the big, it's not the big deal that people kind of make it out to be. A quick phone call is just that. It's just a quick phone call.
I agree. I think we get so used to not doing it that we kind of get, we create a hurdle over it. And so it's something to think about, you know, just call and say, there's some compliments you could give. You can call and say, hey, I was impressed by, you know, X, Y, or Z. I thought you handled that email well, or I loved your idea.
You can do this after a conference call where there's been a whole bunch of people, you know, and the person that you're wanting to build a relationship with did a presentation. And then you can just call them afterwards and say, hey, just wanted to let you know, I was really impressed by whatever it was that you were impressed by. Another one is sympathy. So things like, that was a rough call, or I'm sorry you lost the deal, or I'm sorry you're sick. You know, sometimes conference calls or emails, exchanges and things don't go as well as we would hope. And it's nice to have someone say, you know, I'm sorry that happened, or I feel for you, whatever.
Yeah. You could also offer to provide help or support. You might call and say, hey, I have time. Can I do X for you? Or I have some skills in X. Could you possibly use some help in that area? This is a lifesaver often. And even if they don't say yes, sometimes it's just nice to have somebody offer to help you and not feel like you're, you know, stranded and kind of overwhelmed on your own. When you're offering to help too, it's much more useful to offer something specific, something you know you can take off their plate. Consider if you've ever helped them when they were on vacation and think about that list. You know, calling and saying, hey, can I help at all is one thing, but calling and say, hey, can I help write your newsletter or help you with your, you know, report for this week is really helpful to people, because then they can just say yes and they don't have to think through their list and, you know, offer you specific things and things like that. So you seem swamped, can I do anything is supportive, but maybe less helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we want to be helpful because, again, this is about relationships and building them, and that's a much better way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the last category is send I thought of yous. So there is a, I guess it's famous to me, but I don't know if it's famous to everybody, other people who are not my age, but there was a advertising campaign in the UK with Royal Mail, and it would be a card or something that was written, and it would say, I saw this and I thought of you. And it's just a kind of, one of them is a spider, like one of those plastic spiders, and it's sent to a little boy, and in the back of the room you can see an elderly aunt, and you know that he's just going to scare her with the spider. And so so one of his, another aunt, I guess, has sent him this spider, and she says, I saw this and thought of you. And this is a really practical way to show that the relationship matters to you. You know, there's a, the person who sent him the spider knew that he'd like it, knew that there was an opportunity to use it, was caring enough to buy it and pack it up and send it to him. And you can do that for relationships at work. Now, you don't want to send plastic spiders to people because you might scare them. But it does show that you understand someone, you know what's interesting to them, you know what things excite them, and you're looking out for those things. So we talked a couple of weeks ago about setting reminders to be in contact with your network. And you can set reminders to be in contact with your team, especially if you're remote or you work from home and you don't see each other. Set a reminder that says, if you haven't talked to this team member in 2 days, to remind you. And then as you go through your day, look for something that you can send to them, just as a, I saw this and I thought of you. And if you have it in your mind that you want to send them something, you will find something. If you don't think about it, you won't find something. But it's amazing how well our minds filter in and out the things that we tell it to look for. And when we say, look for something that's interesting to Kate, you're bound to find it.
That's absolutely true. Some thoughts on things to send include recommendations on things that might help them, like apps and items, ideas, articles, maybe discoveries that might make their work easier, you know, a new piece of software, or maybe some gear, like some tech gear, sometimes helpful. Something you see in a store. Or I always think, you know, the best place for that I always find is like museum gift shops.
Oh, yes.
Yes, so many things in there.
So many things.
Funny pictures, although, again, consider their disc profile. High Ds and high Cs don't love jokes or funny pictures. And then also other ideas that might just help them with their work or what they're going through or other things that are topical for them right now. The idea here is, again, that it's quick. You know, a two-line email, a link, a recommendation is sufficient. It doesn't have to be, hey, I read all these reviews and I thought that you'd really like this vacuum.
Yeah. No, but, you know, if somebody is on a conference call, you know, and in those few 5 minutes beforehand, they're brushing their floor with their brush and a dustbin and brush, and you say, why are you doing that? And they say, my vacuum broke. And then later on that day, you see an article that's like, the best vacuums for 2020. Like, just send it to them. You don't have to do a whole bunch of research, but at least you're kind of narrowing it down for them if they feel like the article researched it in the way that they did, and you proved that you were listening and that you cared.
Yeah.
It is clearly easier to develop and deepen relationships when you're geographically close. It's so much easier in an office when you see someone all day, every day, when you can bring donuts, when you can see when they're frustrated or you can see when they're happy, and you know the ins and outs of what they're doing that evening and how their morning went and so on. But being remote doesn't mean you can't have the same depth of relationships. It means you have to work a little bit harder. You have to be a little bit more deliberate. You have to make it something that you're actively working on, and you do it a little bit differently, but still, you can do it. You're not doomed, as the licensee said. And hopefully we've given you lots of examples of things that you can do, even if you are on different continents.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Wendy.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with another topic.